Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
All right, coming up in 50 minutes or thereabouts, another keyword for your chance to win $1,000. You just enter it at the website, KFIAM640.com, and find out if you're a winner.
Now, yesterday was at this time, wasn't it? We had
Dr. Klausner.
Dr. Yeah. Jeffrey Klausner is on explaining how monkeypox works, how it transmits, how you can get it, what the symptoms are like. And today we are going to talk with Matt Ford. Matt Ford wrote a piece in Newsweek.com, headline, "I Have Monkeypox, This Is What It's Really Like." And he only a few hours ago had the isolation order lifted from his from himself. We're going to talk to him about that, but I guess we'll find out what that means now that he's not under court-ordered isolation. Matt, how are you?
Hey there. I'm doing much better now. Thanks for asking, and thank you for having me.
There really was a court order to keep you inside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Department of Public Health issued a court-ordered stay-at-home order that was, like, enforceable. I think it's, like, a misdemeanor if you break it or something.
Yeah. And so now what, you can go out anywhere you want?
Yeah. Now I can just, you know, keep living my life like a normal person.
All right. Let's go back to the beginning. I suppose you probably heard vaguely in the news that monkeypox was out there.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of just this vague thing I'd heard or read reports about that, you know, there were outbreaks in the UK and it was potentially spreading to the US, but I didn't really think of it as anything that directly affected me or something I should be worried about. And that, that obviously changed very quickly.
And what was the first sign?
So my situation was unique in that I got a call that alerted me that I had been exposed. So I kind of knew from the get-go that it probably was monkeypox. But the first symptoms I noticed that showed up were the lesions, the telltale lesions.
And what did the lesions look like?
They kind of just look like blisters or like massive whiteheads. You know, they're like a big red. They can almost look like a pimple at first, but then they expand and they get larger. And yeah, they look almost like a blister, or like I would imagine what chickenpox looks like, similar.
And where did they show up?
They showed up everywhere. I mean, I had some on my face, arms, legs, feet, torso, and more sensitive areas. I mean, it was all across my body.
If you were to put a number on it, how many do you think?
I mean, I tried to count at one point, and it was over 25, 25 plus.
25 plus scattered all over your body?
Yeah.
And did they hurt?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it kind of varied depending on where they were. You know, the more sensitive the skin, the more painful they were. So the more sensitive areas, it was excruciating to the point that, you know, I had to be prescribed narcotic painkillers just to be able to sleep. And then, you know, in less sensitive areas, it was at best still, like, you know, itchy and irritating.
Yeah, did they? Oh, you know, they were itchy, huh? But I guess you...
Yeah, because they go through, you know, they become these blisters, and then in order for them to heal and for you to be considered recovered, they have to burst and then scab over, and then the scab has to fall off, and there has to be, like, fresh, smooth skin underneath. So you have to wait for all of them to do that before you're considered healed.
It just seems like it would drive you insane if you've got itching, hurting pox all over the body and in sensitive areas, your arms, your legs, your feet. I mean, that would just, you wouldn't know where to sit, how to move, where to scratch. That's insanity.
Yeah, you're telling me. There were multiple days I wasn't even able to work. You know, I work from home at my desk, but it was just so much, and pain and irritation and managing the symptoms. You know, there were whole days I was just laying in bed trying to get through it.
What other symptoms?
So flu-like symptoms come with it as well. You know, the first lesions that showed up, I didn't even really feel them. I kind of had to, like, check myself to even notice them. And then very quickly after, the flu-like symptoms hit. So I had, you know, a cough, sore throat, full body chills, a fever. I was having night sweats, you know, sweating through my sheets. That lasted for a good, like, 5 to 7 days. And oh. Kind of as those, yeah.
On
yeah,
top
it's
of the
multiple
lesions.
Layers of this. Yeah, on top of the lesions. It was kind of like an inverted timeline. Like, as the flu-like symptoms were starting to lighten up, more lesions were appearing and becoming larger.
Jeez, yeah, you probably were rooting for coronavirus rather than the monkeypox. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
And
timeline included.
There's no treatment for this?
So there is, but it's really hard to get. There's this, you know, there are a few antivirals that treat it, primarily one called, I think it's pronounced Tecovirimat, but it's really difficult to get. I only have a few friends who have been successful in getting prescribed it who have monkeypox, because there's all this red tape around it with the CDC to be prescribed it, and it's really, really cumbersome for the medical provider to do it. It takes, like, hours of paperwork. So until that red tape issue was cleared up, people are just having to treat the symptoms and not really able to get antivirals that treat the actual virus.
If you have an outbreak and the government wants to stop the outbreak, why is there red tape on one of the few drugs that might work?
Just, your guess is as good as mine. I don't
understand any of this.
No, and they're even having trouble getting the vaccines to people, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Every aspect of it has kind of been a mess. Like, there are all these vaccines for it that are stuck in Denmark because allegedly the FDA didn't inspect them in time. You know, there are lags in testing because there aren't enough tests. So providers aren't even sure if people have monkeypox when they think they do. And the treatment isn't readily available. It's just, like, on all fronts, it's pretty rough.
What was the lowest point?
The lowest point was probably when, you know, I was in so much pain about halfway through that I wasn't able to sleep at night. So I was already sleep deprived and just in so much pain that the only thing that would really help was Epsom salt baths. So, you know, I would be taking 3 to 5 Epsom salt baths throughout the night. So it'd be like, you know, 4:30 a.m. and I'm sitting in a bath trying to get some semblance of peace to go to sleep. And that was a pretty dark moment, literally and figuratively.
And you want people to know, I guess, it's not just sexual contact. You can get the skin to skin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a pretty big misunderstanding about it that might be fueling some stigma. I mean, yes, it obviously can spread through sex, and we're seeing that, but it's not just spread through that. It can be skin to skin contact. If somebody doesn't know they have it and they have a lesion and they touch you, that can spread it, as well as, you know, if you touch a contaminated surface and any kind of fluid spreads, including respiratory droplets. You know, in prior iterations of this, where it's endemic in Africa, it's been listed, according to the CDC, as being airborne through droplets. So it doesn't spread the same way as COVID in that regard, but, you know, not as easily. But, you know, if you're in close contact with someone and, you know, they spit on you or whatever and they have a lesion in their mouth, that could in theory, transmit it. I have a friend who thinks he got it from making out with someone.
What?
Boy, a few months ago, you never thought you'd know this much about monkeypox, did you?
I did not.
So they send a court order where they mail it to you, or you get a messenger at the door saying you're not allowed to leave your home?
Yeah, so I've been in touch with the department since I got the call, which was on Friday, June 17th. And then my test finally came back positive a week later, but I already knew I had it. And that day, yeah, they sent me this, like, two-part email system that was kind of complicated that I had to open from the court. And it said basically until they deemed me recovered, I had to isolate and stay at home. And, yeah, just today I went back to the department and got inspected, and they cleared me legally. They sent me another little email.
All your lesions gone, or are they in a state of they're not capable of being contagious?
So the lesions themselves are gone. Like, they've all scabbed and fallen off, and there's smooth skin there. There is some residual redness where they were. Like, you can easily see where they were just from, you know, the skin still having to fix that pigmentation, I guess. But yeah, the bumps themselves are gone.
Wow.
And there's no scabbing here, or scarring, right?
I mean, scabbing, yeah, that's, but scarring, no. Well, it can. TBD for me, you know, I've heard reports of people getting scars from it. I'm trying to get ahead of that if I can, but, you know, I have to wait until the pigmentation fades to see if I got any scars.
They said there's a low percentage of death in monkeypox. Were you getting paranoid at, you know, in the dark in your Epsom bath at 3 a.m. that this thing might kill you?
I was never worried it would kill me, per se, because in more developed areas, that seems to be a pretty low risk, you know, with the quality of healthcare. I did become very seriously concerned at one point that I would have to be hospitalized due to the pain and fluids and just, like, being able to sleep and function.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better and coming out of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's to be on the other side now. That's what I'm telling people. You know, if you get it, try to keep in mind that it's a temporary condition and you will be on the other side of it.
All right, well, thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for chatting about it and spreading the word. I'm glad there's some awareness being raised.
All right, Matt Ford there.
Yeah, that's Matt Ford who agreed to talk to us. He's gone public with his case of monkeypox. It was quite an ordeal, as you heard him describe the physical conditions that come with that.
All right.
You just got to wait for it to pus up and burst out and drop off. And
and scab. And
I was trying to think of it as, like, I don't remember if I chicken pox were. I mean, obviously, pox is similar to that.
A pox is a pox.
A pox on you. All right, your chance at some money, $1,000, keyword next.
John and Ken, KFI.
Well, the video proof has been provided. It's the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, which took the lives of 19 students. We'll talk about it in a moment, but here you go.
Now, your chance to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Grand. That's grand, G-R-A-N-D. Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash. Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything. Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James. 800-500-5200. That's 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
If you win, you'll get an email saying you win. And also check your junk and spam folder because sometimes it falls in there. Listen to the KFI AM 640 radio station for the winning keyword every weekday from 9 in the morning to the 5 o'clock hour at night. Next opportunity to win, 520 here on KFI.
So a newspaper called the Austin American Statesman out of Texas has gotten hold of video. It's video that was taken by witnesses, and it's also surveillance video from inside the school. This is the Uvalde, Texas school shooting that happened at Robb Elementary School, and it took the lives of 19 students and a couple of teachers back on May 24th. And it is everything that we heard it is. What you're going to see is actually the gunman walking in the hallway with his weapon, looking around, trying to find a place. He finally finds a couple of classrooms where he begins to open fire. But of course, the shocking part is that police officers, and eventually there's lots of them that arrive, they just stand in the hallway outside. It was a full 77 minutes. And what you're seeing them do is sometimes they check their phones, sometimes they used hand sanitizer, and in one instance, when Ramos fired some of his rounds at the children, they retreat. One even runs down the hallway and kind of hides.
Wow. That's, is this the worst police force in American history?
This is hard to believe. It's survival instinct, but when you're a police officer,
you're supposed
to save people and have a little less of a survival instinct.
You run into trouble. You run to save people. Otherwise, don't even. Why would you take the job? Go make sandwiches.
I don't know.
Again,
Ramos entered this school at 11:33 a.m. He was not killed until 12:50 p.m. There's your 77 minutes. That's how it unfolded.
That is a long time.
And they got there pretty quickly. And again, it was the Border Patrol agents who eventually ran into the classroom and shot him dead. Not these police officers that were there for the full 77 minutes.
That,
really hard to believe.
I mean, imagine like...
This lawsuit is going to be huge. I don't know how they're even going to... Yeah. It should bankrupt the town.
Yeah, I mean, insurance companies will pay whatever they can pay. But, you know, you can't replace all these lives. I'm just shocked that all of the cops would do that. All of them. And they knew there were children dead and dying in there. It is the strangest reaction I've ever seen. All of them?
It's kind of eerie to watch this video. It's like one of those cameras at the top of the ceiling there. And you do see Ramos, that's the killer, walking down the hallway very calmly, brushing back his hair. He eventually enters classrooms 111 and 112, begins opening fire. 3 minutes later, you see the first officers arriving. They entered the school minutes after the gunman. Minutes after. At first, it's just a couple of them, but eventually, there's a whole team there, and they look like SWAT people. They've got all the weapons. They've got all of the, you know, armor that they put on. Still nothing. It says here, long guns, tactical gear, a ballistic shield. But they stayed a safe distance away. And time just ticks by as they stand there. Apparently, some of them start checking maps, maybe trying to figure out another way in. Because as we learned later, it looks like that door was never locked to that classroom.
I'm looking, again, at some of this. I just randomly picked a spot. And I just watched them, and they move from one side of the hallway to the other.
The other. They're killing time.
The guys look left. They look right. You know,
the guy actually uses the hand sanitizer that's planted in the hallway.
Yeah, well, you don't want to catch COVID.
No, you wouldn't. These are apparently mostly Uvalde police officers, from what I'm reading.
And they're looking. All they're doing is looking.
Yeah, they're looking. It's almost like they're waiting, like they're a security escort. They're just waiting for a celebrity to leave the room so they can take him back to his car.
Yeah,
that's how much they're just killing time.
77 minutes. Like if we walked into the school right now at 4:27, we'd be in there till about 5:45, not doing anything.
The thing we don't know absolutely is how many kids could have been saved if they charged right in there. Because, you know, he enters...
Well, they start shooting.
But.
We know that some of the kids are still alive because the girl called in the middle of it and said, there's people alive in here. And they may have been shot. And then at some point, he started firing more bullets at the kids.
Yeah, there's a report here that at 12:03 p.m., they had 19 cops in the hallway, and a kid from the room called 911 at 12:10 p.m. saying that there's multiple dead, but there's 9 students alive, at least.
You know, it's so... weird to watch this because when we heard the story, we were all saying, well, what were they doing? Just standing around? And then you see the video, and yeah, they were just standing around.
Yeah, now the police chief, this Pete Arredondo, has said he thought that the room was barricaded by the gunmen. That would have taken more equipment for them to smash their way in.
What is this? We thought this, we thought that. Don't you go in there to just go in there and save lives and do the best you can? What is this? What, we was waiting on a committee?
It was waiting for like one of those big door buster vehicles? I don't know. I have no idea. There's really no explaining this.
There is no explaining this. Well, they weren't even talking to each other, so he wouldn't even know if there was something coming or not. But you know, it's funny, is periodically they just have their rifles up and they're pointing down the hallway. They're ready to go.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, the Moist Line is coming back in 3 days. We take your messages on the iHeartRadio app. That's the microphone you can use to talk back to the show. You can always call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. In a moment, we're going to play you some really disturbing audio. You talk about people that hate the police. How about like a two-year-old? But first, John Cobalt's going to pop a cork. He's going to think I'm making this up. We told you earlier in the show that Governor Dippity-Doo has returned to California, defending his trip to Montana by basically diverting the issue over to the fact that this was a personal trip. We didn't use any state funds, but he did bring security.
Yeah, he did use state funds. He's lying. He's lying and then admits to the lie in the middle of it. I don't know how to explain it, but you got to follow.
Well,
they
carved out an exception, right to this rule about no state travel or official travel to states on the banned list. But he says they carved out an exception for security reasons.
Right. So his patrolmen that he takes for security, they are being paid with state tax funds. So he arranged, you know, for the carve out so he could go to Montana and spend state tax money while at the same time banning all other state spending to Montana over, you know, nobody even knows what the issue is.
He's off again. He is leaving the state. He is going to Washington, D.C. He's getting an award.
An award.
An award for education. That could have gone either way, anger or mocking laughter.
Well, the guy who closed all the big city schools for a year and a half? He's getting an award for education?
The Education Commission of the States that's recognizing that California is on track to establish universal pre-K classes for all four-year-olds by the year 2025. That's what the award is for.
Boy, that is a nothing burger there, huh?
It really is.
I mean, who cares?
I have no idea, but he's going to meet with Biden administration officials, congressional leaders, members of the California delegation. He wants a little media coverage. Biden won't be there. Biden's going to the Middle East.
There was a story today. I heard it on the radio driving in, I think on one of the cable channels, about how far behind the kids are who had their school locked down for a year and a half.
Special story on Latino children, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
Latino parents are reporting it's terrible.
Most of the students in Los Angeles are Latino. Most of them are minority. I think over 80% are minority, and most of the minorities are Latino. And those kids are way behind everybody else who did go to school in all the suburban districts or in the private schools during the lockdown. And that was all on Newsom. And he was paid off by the state teachers union and the local unions to shut up and not embarrass them and not force the issue. He's the one who created the state of an emergency, and he could have ended this whole fiasco in 5 minutes if he'd gotten up and said something. But he was bought out by the unions, and they screwed the children over so badly, really badly. I mean, criminally. It's shocking. And when you hear how far behind they are and how difficult it is for them to catch up, most of the kids really did nothing. There was no Zoom school, really. The kids weren't connected. The teachers didn't do very much. There was no education going on for these kids, even if they were connected. I can't get over how that happened. It came, it went, and it hardly caused a ripple. And you realize how just disgustingly corrupt, you know, our state is. That's a shame. And it's all the kids that they claim to care about.
Now we take you to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Of course, Minnesota, Minneapolis was the scene of the death of George Floyd back in 2020 that began that horrible summer of violence around the country. And the reason that's significant is because this does involve the police. A news outfit called Alpha News has released a video, which is almost hard to believe. Police officers were arriving in a neighborhood to serve a murder warrant to a man that they were looking for, but that's not the story. The story is that there was a number of people that gathered, including a young child who's probably barely three, all he's got on is underwear. What you're going to hear and it's a lot of curse words, he decides to taunt and verbally abuse the police officers. They particularly picked on a police officer who was black. Here we go.
So you got a little black kid yelling at a black police officer, and nobody's wearing any pants. These little kids, 3 years old, most. Nobody's wearing any tops. Nobody's wearing any shoes. He's screaming, shut up, B-word, at the officer, telling him to shut the F up, wow. And then made fun of his ugly-ass shoes.
His ugly-ass church shoes. Yeah, he's wearing nothing but little tidy whiteys, but they're actually like a blue patterned.
So it's 3 years old. What do you think this guy's...
And he hits the cops at least three times in this clip.
Yeah,
he gives him a slap. Yeah. Now, you heard somebody in the background call that police officer is black. I think he called him a deep-fried Oreo head.
There was another word after that that I had to bleep.
Oh.
It's just astonishing.
They also threw rocks, according to the clip.
No matter how many times you look at this thing...
The police officers didn't lose their calm. Some of them had alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. That they may have been part of that unit that came there. And
Now, where would you learn that kind of behavior and language? Whatever adults are in their homes. I mean, these kids have been programmed by some psychos. Who knows if it's their parents or boyfriends or who, And so they're replicating the behavior of the adults in their home.
Yeah.
Now, what are they going to be like when they're 13?
A lot of trouble.
And then we're going to hear about all kinds of excuses. And
sadly, a kid like this probably ends up in trouble with gangs and violence.
Oh, he's probably already doing it.
When the police come, he wants to shoot. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible way to go.
You know, they're down to 620 officers in the city.
Yeah, apparently Minneapolis-St. Paul is having a really bad time since this happened.
Because if you even get abused by three-year-olds like this, and you're kicked and slapped and you're called a bunch of names, it's like, why would you even show up? Even if you want to be a cop, there's a lot of places you could be a cop. Why would you go here?
Well, you hope you'd shake it off because it's a three-year-old. You don't take it too seriously. But apparently some of the people in the background, older kids were taunting the cops,
But that's what I'm saying. It shows you the culture of the neighborhood. If the three-year-olds are doing this...
Oh, yeah.
Why? If I was a cop, I'd never want to set foot in that neighborhood. God knows what the 19-year-olds are going to do to you. And they're all grown up in the same homes as the three-year-olds. Or they may not be the parents of the three-year-olds.
Sick stuff. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, we start next hour in Vagrant World. A video that is really getting a lot of attention concerns some poor school students in San Francisco who have to walk through an incredible druggy homeless encampment to get off their transportation into their classroom. It is sick and disgusting, and you would think, well, I don't know, they tolerate anything in that city. And we'll talk about a huge fire at an Oakland homeless encampment that actually burned up a lot of RVs and cars. Wow.
A routine day in the Bay Area.
No kidding. And we'll spend some time on Jill Biden made the news. Not Joe, but Jill.
Jill.
Jill. I don't know. Latinos are breakfast tacos. It's kind of an odd thing.
Can you believe that?
Oh, that came out of her mouth. Was that on the teleprompter?
I must have been a scripted line. I don't think she just blurted it out.
It's weird. But now we take you back to can men get pregnant? Oh, boy. Can men have abortions?
Yes.
This debate
never ends.
This debate that we bring you today is from the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. The man you're going to hear is U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri. And the person you're going to hear talking to him, because I don't want to characterize her as a woman or a man, because that could be offensive, is Berkeley Law Professor Kiara Bridges.
Yeah. No, this goes into the Hall of Fame.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When the archaeologists come through our ruins and they'll want to know how the culture crumbled, They'll get a copy of this tape, and they'll be analyzing it. And you're going to hear the senator and the professor argue over over transgender people and abortion.
Yeah, like I said, who exactly gets pregnant, who exactly gets abortions? It becomes a thorny issue because of people that prefer to identify as a different gender, you see. Then it gets very tricky.
You know what? You know what's amazing? Things you never heard of and never conceived of, maybe just a year ago, are now obsessively discussed 24 hours a day, and they're arguing about it in Congress, and it's all over television all the time, and it just never occurred to me about, you know, men getting abortions, right? How many times did that pop up in conversation? And it feels like this is the only thing that's being discussed.
Well, I mean, technically, they would be women who identify as men getting abortions.
That's a
you
long...
You still have to have the right parts to actually grow a fetus, so, yeah. So it would have to be...
Go ahead.
Women who identify as men.
Give me a dissertation
men.
On this.
Well, it's women who identify as men. So they prefer you refer to them as a man, and therefore they're a man that gets an abortion. You get it?
Yes, I get it. I understand the process.
I know you do. All right, let's listen in.
Before, I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity
cis
for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning?
Because
we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that
dangerous.
Trans people exist by asking you if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you're denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
So you're happy your kid's gotten into Berkeley and going to law school, and then this is one of the marquee professors. And you see how they have tried to put everybody in a box? You can't even question anything. You're immediately transphobic, or, I mean, you could be racist, you could be homophobic, you could be sexist, right? All the words. And then, if that doesn't work, then you say, well, you're opening people to violence. You're causing people to commit suicide.
Because it's a drastic turn. Yeah.
Exactly, because the racism, transphobic stuff isn't working as well as it used to, right? Because we just heard it 10,000 times a day. So they have to up the ante. Now it's like, well, you know, just asking that question, you've killed people. You've opened them up to violence. They've killed themselves. And Holly's looking at her like, what? And see, so they've created a situation where no one is allowed to talk about any of the issues. You can't question it. It's whatever they say. They say something, therefore it is. And
this is
if
one of those exchanges where the woke people were probably applauding her and the people on the other side were applauding Hawley. It's just
I think most people think like Hawley does.
Well, I said the woke people applauded her.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, do you see that this is a cult, though? In cults, you can't question. You can't question the existence of God. You can't question the leaders of the cult movement. You're not allowed, because if you do, you're considered some kind of toxic person. I mean, Scientology is all based on that. That if you question the authorities out loud in front of other members, you're committing some kind of sin, some kind of oppression.
Yeah, the point he's making is just because I'm asking these questions doesn't mean I'm threatening people or causing people harm.
You're asking, when did asking...
She jumps to the suicide stat.
Because
I'm like, really?
They want to shut down conversation. This is what's been going on for years, and they keep escalating and escalating. They want to shut down conversation. They don't want you to speak. They want to control what you say and what you think and the words you use and how you phrase your sentences and what you question and how you phrase the questions. This is just like cultural totalitarianism.
All right. We got more coming up. There's some stories on the homeless that you need to hear, along with Jill Biden getting into some trouble.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark has the news, KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.